You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Chicago Cubs edition. I'm Dave Raymond, and today we chat with Terry Muscat. Talk about these first-place division-leading Chicago Cubs as we get underway in the second week of the season. I guess the story, at least here, early in the week, has to be Jorge Soler's great performance Monday night.
Yeah, if I had to pick an early player to be Rookie of the Year, I would pick Soler. I mean, he's really developing as a hitter. He's not just a guy that goes up there and just tries to hit the ball over the fences. He has a really good approach at the plate and really good plate discipline. And he's been getting a lot of work with veterans like Miguel Montero and Starlin Castro, who've talked to him. And then Manny Ramirez showed up, who's a hitting consultant for the team. He showed up on Monday, and Soler responded with two home runs. So whatever Manny told him must have clicked in. But this Soler is going to be a really fun player to watch this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And he did it defensively, too. And we'll get into a little bit what happened with John Lester. But going back to something you just said about Manny Ramirez, and I read your piece, and Manny is a hitting consultant, quote-unquote, shows up on Monday. What exactly is this role that he's filling?
Well, it's last year he was considering coming back and playing in the majors, so he was kind of a player coach at the Cubs' AAA Iowa team. And he got to know some of the young kids like Soler and Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and some of the others, and just talked to them a lot about the approach. Joe Madden had Manny with him briefly in Tampa Bay and said that he was really impressed with Manny's mental approach to hitting. It's not just what he does at the plate, but just dealing with situations, how you think about what the pitcher's trying to do to you. And so Manny hasn't really given up on playing again, but he's told them that he'd like to take on this role as a coach. So he's going to be in Chicago for their for a homestand, and then he'll go and he'll to some of the minor league teams and work with them. Most likely, AAA Iowa. They come home at the end of the week, so he'll probably be out there with them. And it's really kind of neat to see the players. I mean, Soler. I saw Soler and Manny going out to the batting cages on Monday before the game. So, like I say, obviously there's something that clicks there. And it's not that Manny's, taking over for the hitting coach. It's just he's just supplement, condiment.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Yeah. So he's just a little extra there.
Yeah, I like it, and it's so funny because the game is steeped in so much tradition and so many locked in roles and those types of things, and it almost seems a little Joe Maddenish, if you will, just to what the heck, the old guy in like Manny who does bring that little extra element, can't hurt, right?
Well, a lot of this was because of Theo Epstein and Theo's relationship with Manny in Boston. You know, Theo knew that's where it comes from. You know, it's not so much Joe, but I'm sure Joe had to get on board with it, obviously, but last year, when they had Manny in the system, that was Theo's doing. And now this year, with Joe's blessing, he's back. So it should be fun to watch. I know Manny and Javi Baez have a really good relationship. So I think when Javi gets to Iowa and Manny can work with him, you might see some really terrific performances from Javi as well.
One of the things that you touched on recently, too, in some of your stories, that last year this team just had an inability to score runs late, come back from behind, it seemed, specifically when trailing into the ninth inning.
Over 79.
It was done. Yeah. So I guess that's the other thing that emerges early on, right? I mean, and I guess from the team standpoint, nice to get that monkey off the back in the first week or week of change of the season.
Yeah, and even then, the amazing, I mean, the players didn't even realize it was that bad. But of course, Dexter Fowler said he didn't realize it was that bad. But then Dexter wasn't with the Cubs last year either. So Fowler hit just a great two-run homer in the ninth on Sunday against the Rockies in the series finale there that helped. And then against the Reds in the first game of that series, you know, the Cubs come through in the 10th. It really comes down to believing you can do it. And more than one player told me that last year the team just really didn't believe they could do it. And it's just, you know, once you get that confidence and that, hey, you know, we're not out of this game kind of approach, it really could change things for them. They need to get off to a good start in April. They really do. The weather is never cooperative here, you know, as most people know, and it's, they just really have to take advantage of every break they can get.
Yeah, well, it helps when they score runs, of course. And that was, you know, the first handful of games. What was it, 3 runs in 3 games? But I think since then, it's like 22 runs in the last 3 games. It certainly feels, you know, you can't get too excited in a handful of games, but it certainly does seem like something's starting to click.
Yeah, and it's they still need to work on manufacturing runs. You know, they finished second in spring training and home runs in the majors, but they've got to be able to score runs when the wind is blowing in at Wrigley Field. You know, not just like last night, the wind was blowing out. Not to take anything away. No, I shouldn't say that. Monday night, the wind was blowing out. Not to take anything away from what Solaire's did with his home runs, but that does help. But it makes it a different ballpark than when the wind is blowing in off the lake and suddenly, you know, pitchers are having a field day, can throw anything they want.
Yeah, well, no doubt. And usually, you know, this time of year, it's not exactly the time we expect the offense
Correct.
To be lighting it up like that. John Lester, I alluded to it a little bit ago, and Solaire bailed him out with that great defensive play on a failed pickoff throw to first base. But I guess, will you tell me, is it good news or bad news that he, at the very least, threw over to first base twice?
It's good news that he threw over there. It's good. And he was... He didn't quite laugh at himself, but he could at least deal with it post game. He said that the first time he threw over there, it actually kind of surprised him a little bit because he did it and it worked. I mean, and it was the first time. This is just amazing to me. The first time he had thrown over there since April of 2013.
Yeah.
And then that's just you know other guys have been trying to run. He would try to deke guys out by just varying his hold times and his delivery and would try and work that way. Now, the second time he threw the ball over, he said he got a little excited. He admitted to that. And Zach Cozart of the Reds was on base, and he was kind of breaking one direction, and the ball skipped past, well, actually sailed past Anthony Rizzo at first. But Solaire, because he's just such a heads-up player, recovered the ball, and they threw out Cozart at third. And teams are going to learn not to run on his arm. That's just, you know, to me, that's why I know it's only April, it's early April, but I'm starting the NL rookie hype here with Solaire. I mean, it's not just his offense, it's also his defense. And he threw out a runner in Colorado, and they didn't run on him again. And once word gets out, it'll be really interesting. I haven't seen a right fielder with that kind of arm out there since Andre Dawson, and that's a long time ago.
Well, that's pretty high praise too, and I like the dimensions of Wrigley Field for him as well, right? And I think
yes.
that the guys can accomplish more too in some of these ballparks.
The only thing that could be a problem is the new video scoreboard. I mean, Solaire hit it during batting practice during a workout. So there's a chance that he might bust a few panels over there. So that's the only thing that they may have to worry about.
Well, I'm sure they will gladly foot that bill when it's all said and done. And, hey, if John Lester needs any help, and Lord knows he does on this pickoff business at first base, I mean, the all-time expert is sitting right there as the color analyst in the TV booth. I think Jim DeShays holds the all-time record for pickoff attempts. And I think he threw 11 consecutive times in a game.
I'm not sure so JD has talked to Lester about it yet, but I'm guessing that at some point they will have a conversation. I think JD, the nicest thing about JD is that he knows not to overload a guy. So I'm sure that he's probably not saying anything because he knows that Lester's working on it and doesn't want. But it's I'm sure that JD will get in there and have a little conversation at some point.
Good point, too, though, Kerry. How many more voices does a guy need in his head when he's
right.
punching something like that? Well, listen, great stuff as always, and enjoy the week with Cincinnati in town, and we'll do it again next week.
Very good. Thank you.
That's Kerry Muscat, and this has been MLB.com Extras, the Chicago Cubs edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.